Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 112. As we're turning there, I wonder if you've ever thought about whether obedience is worth the effort. Have you been faced with temptation or anything? You know, is it worth obeying? Does it make sense to obey? Or maybe you're seeking to live in wise ways and you're seeking to be faithful, but the path of life at the moment is rocky. It's difficult for you. And you wonder, how do I deal with this? Why? Or maybe you've been diligent in your walk and you're experiencing some of the blessings of faithfulness in your life. And you're walking in wisdom, and you're tempted to claim credit for your success. You say, you know, I've made some wise decisions. Look at how fruitful my life is. I've done a pretty good job. And to claim the praise for yourself. Well, Psalm 112 deals with all these issues. And I am sure you'll be encouraged and challenged as we look at this psalm. Let me begin by reading Psalm 112 together. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Well, I want to look at this psalm. And before we do, I want to give you a bit of background for the nature of this psalm. Psalm 111 and 112 are closely connected. They're a pair. And we're to see, and I think it's helpful to read them together. 112 is richer, makes more sense when we see it in connection to Psalm 111. Well, you might say, why are they a pair? Prove it to me. That's what I usually think when the pastor makes a claim. I'm like, well, prove it to me. Well, as we look at it, the first thing we notice is that Psalm 111 and 112 are an acrostic psalm. That is, in the Hebrew, each line begins with the next letter of the alphabet. There are also wisdom psalms. If you look at verse 10 of 111, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." These are wisdom motifs. And we see how the ending of Psalm 111 leads right into the beginning of Psalm 112. Well, there are further reasons to see them as a pair. If you were to put them right next to each other and you start comparing words, you're going to see there are lots of similarities, repeating words, repeating phrases. The fear of the Lord, upright, delight, justice, forever, good. And we also see that there are two phrases repeated. And the two phrases that are repeated on the same lines of each psalm. So if you hold them up together, you would see them right in the same place. Gracious and merciful, and his righteousness endures forever. So Psalm 111, God is praised because of his character and actions. And then Psalm 112, God is praised because of all that he does in the people who fear him. And so Psalm 112 begins with this declaration, praise the Lord. It's a command, it's a call for us to praise the Lord. And what's going to follow is the justification or the reasons why we should praise the Lord. It's a summons for us. What is praise? What is it when we praise the Lord? What is it saying? Well, there is an expression from our hearts of adoration, of awe, of appreciation. There's a thankfulness. And that heart of thankfulness and appreciation, amazement, it's responded in words. And we do that in life, and we see something that's awe-inspiring, we'll go, wow. Or we might say, that is awesome. Right? Well, we want to give verbal expression to what we find is amazing or wonderful or beautiful. And that is what this call is. Praise the Lord. Give voice of appreciation to the Lord for His goodness, for His greatness, for what He does. Now, before I go into the psalm, I want to make one note. The psalm has the focus as the man who fears the Lord. The man who fears the Lord is an exemplar or a type. So the truths we find in Psalm 112 are good for man, for woman, for boy and girl. It's good for all of us. So as we come to the psalm, God is speaking clearly to us this morning. He's reminding us to be a thankful people. To be a people who praise God. To be a people who acknowledge Him for His grace and for His righteousness and His goodness towards us. It's also a psalm that reminds us of the value of wisdom. Wisdom is valuable. Wisdom is good. It's something to seek. And so as we go through the psalm, I want to stir you up to worship and to obedience. To worship and obedience. Craig, I'm going to use this. This is not helpful. Okay, so stirring up to worship and obedience as we consider God's blessing on those who fear Him. Well, what kind of a person receives blessing? Verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. So we praise the Lord. Why? Because He blesses. Who does He bless? What kind of person does He bless? Well, there's this statement here. He blesses those who fear the Lord, who fear Him, and who delight in His commandments. So there are two descriptions of the character of the kind of person that God blesses. The first is He blesses those who fear the Lord. Well, fearing the Lord is an expression that we find in the wisdom writings and other scripture as well. And it's a little enigmatic sometimes to us. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does that mean? What does that look like? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, I find, is a helpful place to begin to get around what it is to fear the Lord. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. I want to know what it is to fear the Lord. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, we read this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." Notice the connection of terms here, of attitudes and actions, fearing the Lord, loving Him, and then actions of walking and serving and obeying. In the New Testament, the predominant word that brings all this together is the word faith. And what I want to do is to link for you Old Testament and New Testament. Here's a passage from Genesis 22, verse 12. This is the Lord speaking to Abraham just as he's about to sacrifice his son. Here's what God says to Abraham. "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you
fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And here is this word, fear God, is a summary statement of this heart of faith and dependence and worship. If you write down Hebrews 11, 17, this is a New Testament statement about what we read in Genesis 22, 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So this word, fear the Lord, mostly used in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the similar concept is the concept of faith, of trust. Seeing who God is in all his glory, believing that, and living as that being the basis of your life. So what's the psalmist saying here in Psalm 12? God blesses. Who does he bless? He blesses those who fear him, those who live by faith in him. Now, do we deserve God's blessing? No, we don't. As New Testament believers, when we place our faith in God, it's through Christ, realizing that we don't deserve any blessing apart from Christ. There's an undeservedness about blessing. And that's amazing. And so what should we do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he blesses those of faith. He blesses those who fear him. But there's a second description of the character of the person God blesses, and that is those who greatly delight in his commandments. Those who fear the Lord, those who delight in his commandments. There's a connection there, isn't there? If you have faith in God, you trust that his commandments are good. This statement really catches my attention. Greatly delights in his commandments. Greatly delights. I'm reminded of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. So I want to ask you a question. Do you delight in God's commandments? Do you delight in his instructions? To say it negatively, do you delight in his restrictions? Do you delight in his commandments? That's why I asked at the beginning of the sermon, does obeying God's commandments sometimes not seem worth it? Well, no, God says this, but you know what? I'd prefer to do this. This seems like a better path. But the man God blesses delights in his commandments. See, too often sin seems like the better way to go. The way of sin, the path of sin, seems more attractive. But it's not. Remember what we read in Deuteronomy 10 about obeying God's commandments? And he's given, the Lord says he has given them because they are good. They're good. Why do we delight in God's commandments? Or I might say it this way, why do we not delight in his commandments? Well, we don't delight in his commandments because we think there are better ways to go. Why ought we to delight in his commandments? Because the Creator of all, in his love for us, has given us instructions in how to live in his world well. Live my way, and it will go well with you. And so we shouldn't see the commandments as restrictions. We should see commandments as the goodness of God revealed to us that we might have enjoyment in this world. Do you delight? Do you greatly delight in God's commandments? Well, if we trust in God, it makes sense to trust in his commandments, to delight in them. If you're not delighting in his commandments, how much are you trusting him? Do you really see him as trustworthy? Do you value him and treasure his goodness to you as your heavenly Father? greatly delighting in commandments. Well, when we see God's commandments, what should we do? Praise the Lord. Praise Him that He's given us commandments, and praise Him that He blesses those who fear Him, those who live by faith in Him, and those who greatly delight in His commandments. Because when we delight in His commandments, how do we live? We obey. We obey because that makes the most sense. That's the best way. That's the way of blessing. That's the path in which we receive God's blessing. Well, not everyone receives God's blessing, do they? Who receives God's blessing? Those who fear Him. Those who take great delight in His commandments. We praise Him and we exalt Him for that. Well, after briefly considering the character of the person God blesses, I want to think about what those blessings are in greater detail. So in verses 2 to 4, if you're taking notes, we see the general description of the blessings we receive. The general descriptions of the blessings that we receive. Verse 2. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. It's kind of an, at first I think this is an odd thing to put as the head of blessings. But there is great joy in seeing your children and your grandchildren walk faithfully before the Lord. This is a tremendous thing. This is something we long for as parents and grandparents. And so when we see generation after generation walking faithfully, we are blessed and we praise the Lord. I'm reminded of Psalm 127. You might want to flip over there for a moment. Verse 3, behold, Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb are reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. We see here that the assumption is that the children and the children's children and the generations following are children who trust the Lord. They're walking faithfully before the Lord. There's no reason to boast when that happens. When we walk faithfully before the Lord and children walk faithfully and children's children walk faithfully, this is because of God's work in their hearts. We have done what He asks us to do, but He is the one who transforms hearts, isn't He? And so when we see generation after generation faithfully following the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His goodness and His grace. But I see there's something else at work here, and that is praise because God's blessing, God's mercy is never exhausted. We experience God's grace and His mercy, His blessings. The next generation, they get to experience the richness of God's blessings when they walk in obedience. And the next generation, they get to experience the richness of God's blessings. Generation of generation, receiving abundant blessings from God. His blessings are never exhausted. Doesn't matter how many generations you go down, God's blessings will never be exhausted. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His grace. Praise Him for His blessings upon us, upon our children and children's children. Well, verse 3, he moves on. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Now, we need to remember this is a wisdom psalm. These are proverbial sayings. There's a proverbial aspect to how we read this. The scripture is clear that there isn't always a direct connection between faithfulness and riches. But the scripture is also clear that there is a general truth to life. When you walk faithfully, when you walk obediently, there's fruitfulness in your life. It may not be the riches you want, but you will indeed experience some tangible and practical blessings from God. Good gifts from God, because we have a good God, and we should praise Him for that. We shouldn't take it lightly. Verse 3, as it speaks, though, I think is also a celebration of a humble person. This is not a greedy person speaking. This is not a person who's saying, look how much money I've amassed. Aren't I awesome? He's saying, all the riches I have are from God, and I'm thankful. I praise him for how he has blessed me and provided for my needs. Praise be to God for his goodness, for his mercy, for his abundant blessing upon us. But then the last phrase of verse 3 is quite astounding. And his righteousness endures forever. This is talking about the man who fears the Lord. In Psalm 111, we read this, verse 3. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. And now we read in verse 3 of the man who fears the Lord, and his righteousness endures forever. Kind of an audacious statement, isn't it? But what can be said of God, God's righteousness endures forever, is also being said of a person. His righteousness endures forever. Well, we know that the righteousness of this person is related to their fear of the Lord, related to their faith. And that this is something more than a righteous act or a record of righteous acts, but that this is speaking of the bestowal, I think, of righteousness from God. Turn to Romans 4. And I think reading these first few verses of Romans 4 will help put this in context. I think will help us be more amazed at the statement that is there, to treasure the spiritual realities that we see there. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes, to him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. I think this is what we're looking at in this verse in Psalm 112. The man of faith, the man who fears the Lord, the man who greatly delights in his commandments, his righteousness endures forever. Why? Because he's a man of faith upon whom the God whose righteousness endures forever has bestowed his righteousness. And so we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By faith I have received righteousness, unmerited, undeserved, and it goes on forever. I experience God's righteousness and I praise him for it. Praise the Lord. Moving on to verse 4. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He's gracious, merciful, and righteous. But what's being spoken here of light dawns in the darkness for the upright? This is speaking of God's graciousness and kindness to us, represented in the light, to darkness, in places where graciousness doesn't usually come or where mercy is not deserved. If you were to search in a concordance under light and kind of go through all of the Psalms, you would see this pattern. Just as one example, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See how the Lord's presence and his character is represented as light? So the psalmist is saying, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. They experience God's mercy and his graciousness. But look at the second line here. Those who receive the light, who receive the graciousness of God. The upright, he is gracious and merciful and righteous. Look back at Psalm 111, verse 4. This is talking of God. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. And now we read in Psalm 112, verse 4, the righteous man, the upright man, is gracious and merciful and righteous. You see, the man of faith, the man who fears the Lord, he, his actions, his attitudes reflect God's. It's really astounding to read what's used to describe God in Psalm 111 with what is described as the righteous man in Psalm 112. Why does he do that? Well, he wants us to be stirred up to praise. Why should this cause us to praise? People who aren't naturally merciful and gracious and righteous are gracious and merciful and righteous. Why? Because of God's blessing. And so we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes God gives us insight. You might be going through life and you do something and you're surprised. You think, wow, where did that kind word come from? Or, I just wanted to do this gracious act to someone and I just wanted to do it. And our temptation is to say, boy, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with how good I'm doing. But no, what should we do? We should stand back in amazement. I've just seen the reflection of God in my life. And I'm to praise him. Praise him as you see graciousness. As you see a humility and a kindness towards others come out of your life. As you see mercy, as you see righteousness. Well, this is also, I think, a call, a reminder of what wise living looks like. The one who fears the Lord, the one who delights in his commandments, is a person who seeks for graciousness and mercy and kindness in their lives. And so we praise the Lord. Well, I see a general description of the blessings God gives to the one who fear him in verses 2 through 4. But in verses 5 through 8, I see the blessings that God gives, the blessing of steadfastness. The blessing of steadfastness. The person of faith is steadfast in the face of bad influence, verse 5 and 6, in the face of bad events, verse 7, and in the face of bad opposition, verse 8. Let's look at being steadfast in verse 5. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. The righteous person, the person of faith, the person who fears the Lord, deals generously. There's a graciousness. There's not a greediness. The one who fears the Lord is not manipulative. They conduct their lives with integrity. That's the nature of a wise person. They rely on God's goodness and his grace and his provision more than relying on their own cunning, rather than relying on their own strategies. Well, what happens when you live a life like this? What happens when you live wisely, when you live by faith, and you're not out to help God? You're not trying to cunningly create a successful life, but you're living by faith in dependence upon his goodness and mercy. Well, if you're living that way, you're not easily tempted with a bribe. You're not easily tempted by manipulation or evil influences of others. You live with integrity. And so we read in verse 5, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. There's integrity, there's fairness in his life. The righteous will never be moved. And I take here that what the psalmist is referring to is he will not be moved from this steady course of living a life of integrity. He will not be moved to injustice. He will not be moved to oppress people. He will not be moved to manipulate or to trick people. He will be steady of character. You see, the steadiness of character in the face of opposition is a blessing that God gives to the faithful. And we're to thank Him for that. To say it another way, when you live by faith, when you live a path of wisdom, you can expect God to bless you with a steady character because you're living by faith in Him and not looking to yourself. And so verse 6 ends with this word, this phrase, He will be remembered forever. This kind of person makes his mark on the world. Not because he's wanting to be a legend, not because he sets out to be the man remembered in the history books, but because he sets out to live a life of faith and integrity. And when he does, his life affects others in good ways, and people remember him. His life affects other people in good and in wonderful ways. Well, the man of faith, the man who fears the Lord, is blessed with steadfastness in the face of bad influences, but also in the face of bad events. Verse 7. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Notice here, there's this assumption that wise people are not immune from bad things. Bad things happen to wise people. Bad events, bad circumstances come their way. There's an assumption here of that's part of life. But this kind of person, he's not afraid of bad news. He doesn't live in fear of bad news. And when bad news comes, his world doesn't crumble and he doesn't crumble. Why? Because his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God for the steadfastness he gives us in the face of bad events. And then in verse 8, in the face of bad opposition, his heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Being a wise man doesn't mean you won't have enemies. Being a person of faith does not mean there'll be people who'll be out to destroy you, to mess up your life. But what is the life of the wise person? How does God bless the wise person? His heart is steady. He's not afraid. He's not afraid. The wise person is trusting the Lord. The wise person is delighting in the good God who's given good instructions and good commands. The wise person has been living a life of trust and dependence upon God's goodness and His faithfulness. And when you live like that, when things come out of nowhere, when people come out of nowhere who seek to destroy you and take you down, there's a steadiness to your life. There's a steadfastness to your life. A steadfastness that comes from God as you trust in Him. So, what are the blessings to the wise people? There are some general descriptions of blessings, but then there's the blessings of steadfastness, but also we see in verse 9 and 10 the blessing of endurance. These two last verses you'll see in your Bibles have three lines to them. These go together. They're a contrast. The righteous man is contrasted with the wicked man. And so we read in verse 9, He is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Notice how the wicked person, the person who set his life against God, who's like, I don't care about God's commandments. God's not trustworthy. I'm going to live my own way. The wicked person, his life just kind of fades away. There's not an endurance to it. It melts. He will perish. So the sense is here of a short-termness, a forgottenness, but also in back of this is a sense of judgment as well. So the righteous person is contrasted with the wicked person. The righteous person receives the blessing of endurance. There's this phrase, he distributes freely, he's given to the poor, he keeps this attitude of righteous, gracious living, and then we see this phrase repeated, his righteousness endures forever. Now, this phrase is repeated twice in Psalm 112. What's repeated? It's twice. It's only once in Psalm 111. You know, as I read Psalm 112, I get the sense that the writer is just amazed at this. He's amazed. He knows he's not perfect. He knows the wise person is not perfect. And he knows the wise person is not deserving of blessing from God. And he's amazed that God blesses people. God blesses those who humbly trust him. God blesses them with a righteousness that endures forever. And the psalmist is just amazed by that. Praise the Lord. Are you amazed by that? Are you amazed at the righteousness that you receive from God? It's not just kind of over you in some way. His righteousness is in you and flows out of you. Think of New Testament concepts of being conformed to his holiness, or sharing in his holiness, or being conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's the things that the psalmist is talking about. The people of faith, their righteousness endures forever. And then we see this phrase, his horn is exalted in honor. It's kind of enigmatic, isn't it? I mean, some of you probably have horns, but they're probably deer antlers. Maybe some of you have a cow horn or something, but horns don't mean much in our culture today. A horn back then represents strength or honor. I kind of get that from the horn of an ox, right? You don't arm wrestle an ox, right? They're strong. And so the horn represents strength and power. So what he's saying here, the horn, or the horn of the righteous, the upright, his horn is exalted in honor. Or I think it's better to say his horn rises high. Kind of a summary statement of the wise person. The man who fears the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord, there is a strength. There is a steadiness. There is an integrity of life. And throughout their life, it gets stronger, gets more robust, gets more impressive. And those around honor the integrity and the strength of character of the wise person. What does the psalmist say? When you've lived a life like this, when you've had a life of growing integrity and spiritual strength, when other people around you honor you in that, don't take the glory. Praise the Lord, for this too is a blessing from him. God blesses those who fear him. Well, of course, in contrast to this, the wicked covet the faithfulness and the fruitfulness and the strength of the righteous. They want it. But in all their anger and their clamoring to get it, in the face of the strength of the righteous person, they melt away. They fade away. They're not enduring. There's not an enduring good effect on the world around them. There's not any real eternal hope. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his blessing upon the people of faith. Praise the Lord for his blessing upon us. As I look at this psalm, I see this double thrust, this reminder. Praise the Lord. Look at the blessings in your life. Recognize with amazement that there are things about your life that are like God. Praise him. Praise him that he has blessed you, that you might be living more and more like him, gracious and kind and righteous. But the second thrust of this psalm is seek wisdom. Seek to be like this kind of person, a person of faith, A person who fears the Lord. A person who delights in his commandments. I wonder what your week has been. Have you been delighted? Have you been amazed at how God has blessed you? Has there been like a lighthearted happiness? Wow, look what God has done for me. As you look at the week ahead, how will you live? Will you live like this wise person? Will you live with an anticipation of blessing because you're trusting him? Are you delighting in his commandments? Or do his commandments feel burdensome, onerous, frustrating, like a sick joke from God, set out to make life difficult? So I encourage you, think about this when you're tempted this week. Why aren't I delighting in his commandments? Where am I not trusting him in this? Why do I think disobedience is a better way? Cultivate a heart that is delighting in the commandments of God. Seek him. Seek his wisdom. Seek his blessing. And praise him. Be amazed at the goodness and the blessings that come to us from God. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this psalm, it is amazing to consider that you bestow upon us your blessing. It is amazing to consider that you're at work in our hearts, making us like you. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to delight in your commandments. Help us to fear you, to believe that you're true, to believe your promises, to trust you that you are a faithful and good God, and that when difficult times come, you're still trustworthy. Your grace is sufficient. You have a plan that is marvelous, that is comprehensive. To trust you that no one is stronger than you. No one can steal the blessing that you've promised for us. No one can outwit you. Help us to be amazed that your light has shined in our darkness. Help us to treasure your graciousness and kindness to us. And that as we're amazed by it, we'll become like that. We'll become like you, gracious and merciful and kind to others. And Lord, just as you are righteous in and of yourself, you have blessed us that we might have your righteousness. It's from you, but we share in your righteousness forever. Oh, Lord, thank you. We praise you for this. As we go into this week, oh, Lord, I pray that these truths of this psalm would impact us. Help us. Help us to see you more this week. May praise more quickly come to our lips. And Lord, because we've seen this in the psalm, I pray that you will do what you've said you will do, and that is that you will bless others through us, that they might benefit because your character is at work in us and through us. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. As we stand this side of the cross, we realize that this all is ours through Christ. And because of the working of Christ's Spirit within us, and we praise you and we thank you. We thank you in all of this through Christ our Savior. Amen.